This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As we go to air, 18 Democrats have officially entered the 2020 presidential contest. Of course, there are several big names, Warren, Sanders, O'Rourke, to name a few. There are also some insurgent outsiders like South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and some candidates who, respectfully yet honestly, may elicit an initial reaction of, who? Such as Miramar, Florida Mayor Wayne Messam.
Well, I'm passionate about the American dream because it's not a fictitious thing for me. It's real for me.
Well, Messam declared his presidential candidacy last month. He's been mayor of Miramar, Florida since 2015. Today, he happens to be in Las Vegas meeting with local labor and community leaders. And we'll be talking to him. You can join the conversation. What do you know? What do you want to know about Mayor Wayne Messam's presidential platform and his ideas for America? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Also online, as always, on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Mayor Wayne Messam, welcome to On Point.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. So give us your pitch here. Why are you running for president of the United States?
Well, I'm running for president of the United States to give Americans a second chance at the American dream. You know, I'm the son of immigrant parents from Jamaica. My father actually was a contract sugarcane cutter that came to this country for many years in South Florida, working in very tough labor conditions for, he only earned 75 cents per row of sugarcane. And he finally had his opportunity to come to this country with my mother and older siblings. And I was born here. They taught me the values of hard work. I was able to go to Florida State and play for legendary coach Bobby Bowden on the 1993 national championship team. Mm-hmm. And I met my wife at Florida State. And actually, after my NFL career was cut short, my wife and I started a construction management company where we are a climate conscious company and we help build the greenest school in the Southeast United States, reaching LEED Platinum. And now I'm the mayor of Miramar, Florida. Our city is a major city in the state of Florida. We have one of the fastest growing economies in the nation with more Fortune 500 companies than any city in South Florida. I'm living that American dream, but I know that the American dream is slipping away for most Americans. They have to work two and three jobs just to make ends meet. They're graduating college and universities with just high student loan debt. Gun violence is ravaging our country, as well as the access to health care. And when seniors have to pay astronomical costs for prescription medicines, that actually have to make the decision on do they score their medicines or buy food to eat this week. So these are pressing issues, and these solutions aren't coming from Washington. America needs a champion to challenge and to bring fresh solutions. Mayors are known to get the job done, and we don't have the luxury of shutting down our government. So I'm looking to bring this vision and this message to the American people.
Right. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about some major issues that all the Democratic presidential candidates, you know, need to have plans for. So you mentioned health care, a big one. What do you have a specific plan for how you would improve the challenges of healthcare and healthcare costs in America?
Well, I think that healthcare should be a matter of civil right in this country. There's been some discussion about Medicare for all. It seems to be the simplest reform idea that makes sense to provide the reality for Americans. But I'm open to any reform measure that expands healthcare coverage for all people. You know, there are far too many people across South Florida, the state of Florida, as well as this country that are forced, you know, to decide each and every day between seeing a doctor and paying their bills. This is an issue that hits close to home for me because my parents actually battled debilitating health issues in their latter years, you know, and I've seen firsthand the impacts that can have on a family. The American people spend more on health care than any other wealthy country, and yet we receive less for it, you know, and this is unacceptable. You know, we must make sure that everyone in this country have access to quality health care, and I look forward to all the policy options to make that a reality.
And what about guns? What's your view on guns?
Well, you know, I'm very passionate about guns. You know, the city of guns and gun safety and violence. Parkland actually is 15 minutes from our city. We actually sent officers to respond there, and I actually even had my own scare. You know, I own a construction management company, as I mentioned before, and I received a frantic call from one of my former employees because we just started work at Fort Lauderdale International Airport, and she was screaming that there was an active shooter in baggage claim, killing killing and shooting people, and people were running out into the tarmac. So I know all too well, you know, and that was a national story as well. You know, as mayor in the state of Florida, did you know that in state of Florida that local mayors cannot even discuss gun safety in our cities? The governor can remove us from office, fine us $5,000, and our city can be exposed to lawsuits by anyone who says that any measures that we take violates their rights. And so I decided to sue the state of Florida. Along led a group of mayors, and there's been other cities to join our litigation against the state of Florida to remove that punitive damage, because I believe that cities should have a say in terms of whether or not if we want to allow assault style weapons in our parks, something as simple as that. So I'm fighting that right now. I'm in the city of Florida, yeah. And if elected mayor, I'm fighting it. And if I'm elected president, my first 4 years, my goal is to reduce gun violence by 50%. And by the end of my administration, to end it in total.
End gun violence in total in the United States by the end of your first 4 years if elected president.
Well, that's just having the political will. You know, we saw the tragedy that just recently took place in New Zealand. Their government took action. Mm-hmm. And we're not taking action in Washington because Washington is broken. In a matter of weeks, New Zealand banned assault style weapons. They took action because they see the damage that those type of weapons is causing in their society just off one incident. Yet here in Washington, we've had a post in Orlando, Parkland, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. You had the tragedy in Aurora and in Las Vegas, where I'm at right now. And the gun lobby has chilled the legislators in Washington, and they won't even act. And we need someone in the White House who will have the political will to force this issue, to force this nation, because we are better than what we are right now. This cannot be our new norm.
So just let me ask you those more specifically, because actually we got some questions coming in on this. Do you support the right of Americans to carry weapons?
Of course, I support the Second Amendment. I think Americans should have the right to bear arms. I'm not talking about that, but okay. I think there's common sense gun controls and measures we can take. For example, I would want to reinstitute the banning of assault style weapons. I don't want to see a country with individuals who have guns who shouldn't have guns. For example, if you're on a terror watch list, or if you are someone who have committed certain crimes, or if you have certain mental illnesses, and I believe in universal background checks. I think those are sensible things that that Americans can decide if it's right for our country. Mm. But the debate won't even come forward.
Well, let's go to the callers. Sebastian's calling from Plymouth, Michigan. Sebastian, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Go ahead, Sebastian.
I was wondering what is your position on late-term abortion?
Okay, Sebastian, your phone's a bit tough to hear, but Mayor Messam, he asked about your views on abortions late in pregnancy.
Well, my position on a woman's right to their reproductive health should be left to the mother. I think there's a misnomer in terms of the prevalence of late-term abortions. When over 90% of abortions take place within the first 21 weeks, that's where most abortions take place. And I think when a woman is forced with a tough decision to abort a pregnancy, it's tough enough of it by itself to have to take such a personal decision, a tough decision to make. And when currently right now in our country, this issue has been demagogued. And I think that primarily it's men who are making the decisions in the laws. I think it's settled law in terms of a woman's right of choice. And I respect that settled law.
Mm. Now, you know, we should talk about the economy, of course, because almost every election does eventually focus on issues of the economy. Do you think President Trump's been doing a good job so far? I mean, the economy has been growing under his presidency. And if not, what would you do differently?
I think it depends on who you ask. When you ask corporations and the richest of Americans, they jump up for joy because they are enjoying the nice tax cuts they received recently, nearly $2 trillion worth of tax cuts. But when you ask working class and average everyday Americans who have not seen their wages keep pace with inflation and definitely not to the point where it's keeping up in terms of not having a living wage to so that they don't have to work two and three jobs when they have challenges in having access to health care or can't afford health care, when seniors have to choose between their medicines and food and those financial challenges, I think they would beg to differ. I think as a country, I think the misnomer is that, you give tax cuts, which is good for businesses. I'm a business owner. I love to make money. And I need to make money to be able to grow and to be able to take care of my employees so that they can take care of their families. So I'm all for that. But I think what's happening is that there's a lot of corporate greed. You know, the past tax cuts, you saw corporations buy back their own stocks to control more of their company. So the stock market has benefited from that in part. But lower class and the low net worth individuals and the working class are not enjoying the same benefits of that tax cut. I think when we all realize that we're in the same boat, and when we can put those tax cuts and resources and invest it back into Americans, where we can make higher education accessible and businesses are paying their fair share so that all the burden isn't on the working class, I think not only are we better as Americans, but we're better as a nation. And I think it's a matter of our economic security that we all realize that we're all in the same boat. And that's coming from a person who's a business owner.
Yeah. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Mayor Messam, we have a question here online about your position on climate change. And I imagine as a Florida mayor, perhaps this is something you've given some significant thought to.
Oh, yes. Excellent question. You know, South Florida is actually ground zero for sea level rise, although other areas and coastal communities are experiencing it as well. You know, in Miami Beach, it can be a sunny day, 90 degrees, and streets are flooding. So it's real. In fact, this administration's own report stated that if we don't take immediate action on climate change in 10 years, we could have irreversible damage to the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. Yet this administration is not even following his own administration's report. There is no direct action on climate change. In fact, we pulled away from the Paris Accord, and I think that is a travesty. America needs to be a leader in terms of being good stewards to our environment. It's not an issue of just climate change. But when we act, we become more resilient as a state because we'll improve our infrastructure. It'll put Americans to work. It'll improve the quality of life for our Americans and make our communities more safe and keep us more competitive as a nation so that we can maintain our global dominance.
So, Mayor Messam, I want to shift gears a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes left. And you know, when I introduced you into the conversation, I talked about the fact that you're the mayor of a Florida city. And look, to be perfectly honest, the media, broadly speaking, from the get-go of any presidential campaign, likes to sort of classify candidates based on, you know, likelihood of winning. And so, for example, here's what CNN wrote about you when you announced last month. Wayne Messam, the little-known mayor of Miramar, Florida, announced Thursday that he is running for president, launching a campaign that will look to accomplish the unlikely, turning the mayor of the 140,000-person town into the next president of the United States. Now, listen. People were saying the exact same thing about Pete Buttigieg not that long ago, right? Mayor of South Bend, Indiana. So, I mean, what's the difference? But he's now a rising darling among some Democratic primary voters. So what's the difference between you and Pete Buttigieg? Or is there not much of a difference? And what does it say about the Democratic primaries that Mayor Pete, quote unquote, is getting a lot of attention recently?
It just goes to underscore that this race is wide open, especially when you contemplate the potential candidacy of a former vice president. You have a countless number of senators, former governors, that this shows that this race is wide open and Americans on the Democratic side have not decided on who they want. And I think that in terms of my fellow colleague, municipal leader, Americans see that mayors actually get the job done. We have very high favorability ratings. We don't have the luxury of shutting down our governments. We have to keep our cities operating and keep our cities moving forward when Washington is stagnant and not solving the challenges of America. But I think what the contrast that I have is being a business owner, a small business, and I understand those challenges of a small business. When you look at the city of Miramar, very diverse, culturally diverse community, about 32% Hispanic and Latino, about 36% African American and West Indian, and about 18 to 20% Caucasian. And when I became the first mayor, I defied the odds. You know, what is the odds of a first generation American whose parents with no more than a fifth grade education to come to this country to chase the American dream, have a son who goes on to Florida State University, becomes a national championship football player, have a shot at the NFL, start a business, be the first black mayor of a major city in Florida, have one of the fastest growing economies in America. I'm living that American dream. And when you think about being the only mayor that's announced, our candidate from Florida, the only candidate from the South, there's a lane for a mayor to be considered. And I'll bring a unique voice, and I'm asking the American people to help me get on the debate stage by going to wayneforamerica.com. And you just may know that the year 2020 just may be the year of the mayor.
Well, Wayne Messam is the mayor of Miramar, Florida. He's also one of the 18 Democratic candidates for the 2020 presidential nomination, speaking to us today from Las Vegas, Nevada. Mayor Messam, thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.